The Alliance for Equality of Blind Canadians BC affiliate invites you to join their fourth annual trivia event, Love is in the Air, on Saturday, April 13 at 3 p.m. Pacific. All proceeds support the scholarship program for post-secondary students studying in British Columbia. Tickets can be purchased at $30 from Eventbrite. For more information on the event, you can visit the AEBC website at www.blindcanadians.ca. For further inquiries, you may contact bc@blindcanadians.ca. We thank you for your support. It is greatly appreciated.
Hey everyone, I'm Marianne LePere from the National Network for Equitable Library Service, and you're listening to the AT Banter Podcast.
Hey, and welcome to another episode of AT Banter.
Banter.
Hey, this is, of course, the podcast where we talk with advocates and members of the disability community to educate and inspire better conversation about disability. Hey, my name is Rob Minot, and joining me today, Mr. Ryan Fleury.
Hello, I'm Ryan Fleury.
And also on the boards here, we have Miss Liz Malone.
I'm not going to introduce myself with that breathy voice, sorry.
I
was just laughing because I'm just like, you know, at the end of the year, maybe what I should do is just crib together like every banter and every voice styling that Ryan does over the course of the year, because it kind of reminds me of, like, you remember the Muppet Show, and like every week, like, they'd have like Gonzo, like at the very end of the song, Gonzo would come down and he was supposed to play the trumpet, but then like just something wacky would happen and he would, it kind of reminds me of that. You know, you guys have no idea what I'm talking about, do you?
Let's do that for the anniversary show.
Oh yeah, you're sure more work. Make me go back into the archives and
you offered.
Well, I know. I said, well, maybe I did. I'll go on Fiverr. Go find somebody from the Philippines to do it for me for $5.
Giving away our content.
But no, how are you guys?
I'm okay. I've had a headache all day, so I'm a little pissed about that. But
I am?
Yeah.
You wouldn't know it with the sultriness coming through.
I know, and it's a long weekend coming up. It's exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't know it. That's all it took to get you into the come hither
a long
mindset.
Weekend? Oh, yeah.
A long weekend, listen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know,
took off
come...
your brassiere, my dear.
They only
turn the lights down low. AT Banter After Dark.
Oh, that, I think that lines up, because what, you think we get maybe a long weekend once a month? So,
pretty much.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Ryan's married. That's about high. That's about right, right?
Once a month?
Yeah.
I'm lucky.
Oh, see, that was just worth it just to hear Liz cackle. I love it.
And that will have to be edited.
Oh, well, I see. Lawsuit worthy.
Divorce. Forget the lawsuit.
Oh, your wife doesn't listen to this podcast.
Mrs. Fleury doesn't even want the world to know she gives him that much attention once a month. She's like, is it your birthday again?
Didn't you just have one?
Did we just have one last year?
Was this a leap year again? Already? Haley's Comet. What?
Excellent.
You see, this is where us single people can really lay it on thick. So
that's right. How are you, Liz?
I'm well. I'm sorry. I'm eating pistachios. I think I'm going to be eating them for the whole show.
Rubbing it in.
I'm sorry. This is
highfalutin fancy
pants.
Listen,
this is. I rushed through dinner to do this recording, so I needed a little, you know, little, have my little snacky snack.
Yeah, it's all that LLC money.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, no kidding. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I had an LLC after my name, I'm sure I'd be able to afford pistachios too.
Sorry, I got to buy the ones that don't have shells.
let me tell you, if you think pistachios are bad, you know what? I'll tell you, the macadamia nuts, I love those. Mm-hmm. Those stayed on the shelf. I saw that. I said, sorry, honey. I don't have macadamia money. I've got pistachio money, but not macadamia money. I have to work harder.
I've got Mr. Peanut money. That's all.
You are Mr. Peanut.
Anyways, nice. Mm-hmm. All right. It's enough silliness. Okay. We should get this thing started. So, hey, Ryan.
Yeah, Rob.
Just what the heck are we doing today?
Today, we are speaking with disability advocate and consultant Gerhard Meyerson. Gerhard, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ryan. Glad to be here.
We'll see about that.
It's already. Yeah. You just wait. No, I don't know why we're all in a bit of a silly mood today. I don't know what it is. I think it's spring. Spring has sprung, so we're actually getting some decent weather, so it's making us all giddy. Mm-hmm. But anyways, Garrett, thanks. Wait, is it Garrett or Gerhard? Did Ryan get that right?
It's Garrett. Yep, you got it right.
Yeah, you got it right. I got it wrong. Well done. Okay,
do you want to redo that little intro, right? No, we'll just have to guess. Screw him.
He's on our show.
He's still on the call.
We have renamed you Gerhard. You shall serve our kingdom well, Gerhard, as we knight you.
I like it.
The future Excellent. Of the kingdom See, depends it. On you, Gerhard.
See, Gerhard likes it.
It's Ryan.
Garrett likes it.
Gerhard, the queen has spoken. It.
See, listen, you can have us on your show and completely butcher our names.
I would love to.
So you got Mr. Peanut over there. You got
Ryan Flory.
Ryan.
Okay. Anyways, Ryan, do you want to go and just
oh my God!
I know. All right. Just all right. Hey, Ryan.
Yeah, Rob.
I said we just leave it in. I think it's funny.
Yeah, well, maybe Garrett does it. You think it's funny?
Well, he's still here. Let's
go
ask him.
Go back to calling you Liz.
No, I believe me. I've only been experiencing that for 2 years.
All right, let's get this over with. Okay. Let's do it again.
Sorry, Garrett. Okay, we're professional now. Just professional face. Okay. Hey, Ryan.
Yeah, Rob.
I want to just tell the fine folks at home just what the heck we're doing today.
Today, we are speaking with disability advocate and consultant Garrett Meyerson. Garrett, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ryan. Glad to be here.
And we're keeping the original take, too.
That's right. No, listen, Garrett, we are very excited to have you on. Maybe just give us a little bit of a snapshot, a little bit of background on yourself.
Sure. Well, it's I am currently 29 years old, almost 30, and I have cerebral palsy. And I was born and raised in South Florida. And I basically decided to start this thing called Love on a Roll. And that was ever since 2018. It was originally focused on dating. And then I was like, I need to have a podcast. So I launched the podcast, Love on a Roll, which you can find on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, basically anywhere you can find a podcast, it's on there. And then from there, I'm currently doing a YouTube version of the podcast. So if you look up Love on a Roll, you'll find it on there. And then, I've been doing a lot of advocacy work on accessibility and really passionate about dating and enjoyable relationships. And that's basically a snapshot of what I'm doing.
Excellent. Well, yeah. Listen, dating, phew, man, let me tell you some horror stories, Garrett. I'm going to have to come on your show.
You are.
All right. Fair.
I can't figure out how to swipe up or down.
No, don't swipe up. That's a super swipe. That's, you don't want to do that. You have to pay for
that. Rob knows all that. Okay. He's got it down.
Yeah, they charge your credit card right there. You don't want to accidentally do that. That's bad. Anyway. That's $2 you'll never see again. So tell us a little bit then about sort of the origin of the podcast and what kind of made you just inspire you to sit down and go through the hassle of starting up a podcast.
Sure. Well, it started with me, Love on a Roll initiated from a concept in my entrepreneurship class, my senior year of college at Florida Atlantic University. You may have seen them in a recent March Madness game. But anyway, so I always was trying to figure out my whole life, what's going on with dating and disability, and why are people not so reluctant to give us a chance, right? So I ended up doing a bunch of surveys. I even did a video on my personal YouTube channel where I did a kind of a documentary. I walked around, well, in my case, I rolled around campus, right? And I was interviewing girls and like, so what are misconceptions that you have about disability and everything like that? And they all culminated in the same thing to me, which was people needed education dating someone with a disability. Nobody knew how that worked because they didn't really have education from society at large. So the podcast began with that and really just making educational videos, podcast episodes, rather audio podcasts and videos as well. And really just educating people about that. And then it dived into personal development. As for why I started it, it was launched during July of 2020. It was during the pandemic. I was bored sitting at home and I always wanted to do a podcast.
Talk to me then about those early days and sort of what kind of aspects of disability and dating did you talk about, and was it mainly just focused on sort of you talking about your own experiences, or did you bring people on and have them discuss their own lived experiences? How did the podcast sort of look back in those days?
Yes, that's a very good question. Well, it started with me talking about my own personal experiences with dating and also I did a little bit of personal development as well. I also had guests on, but that was a little later on in the podcast, but I did start to have guests on, but it was just me basically for the first couple episodes in the first 2 years or so, just talking about my experiences with what I learned about dating. I did, lose my first girlfriend. So that was something that I talked about in the first episode because I was going through the grief process at the time, and nobody really talks about how it looks for someone to lose your first love when you have a disability. So that was something that I felt was important to talk about, and really just give guys and girls hope that, it's possible to date somebody. Cause I can't tell you guys how many guys came up to me over the years and said, I don't know how you go through the dating process. Like I have a physical disability and I just don't want to put girls through that torture, they said, of, having to deal with me. I said, it's not torture. They care about you and they like you and they love you, right? But they just didn't believe that they could do it. So they saw me have success and I was kind of like an inspiration for them. So that's how Love on a Roll kind of evolved. Because it was originally from Instagram with me posting like date ideas and then my experience with dating. So yeah.
So I don't know, why do you think that that dating and disability is such a, I'm not going to say it's a taboo subject, but why do you think people don't talk about it more?
You know, that's a very good question. I think it's because disability itself is not talked about very much in our mainstream society, right? Nobody really places disability as something that should be at the forefront of the education curriculum in college and in school to begin with. And so I think that's why it's a very taboo topic. Parents will go up to, you know, kids will go up to me and parents will say, don't talk to him. You know, leave him alone.
Right.
So I think that's why.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it, being out there in the dating world, have you noticed, though, a shift in, say, even in the past like 3 or 4 years, is it kind of getting better? Because more and more, I think we're finding that you know, there is this real push to remove a lot of these taboos or these stigmas about talking with disability. Have you noticed that sort of, you know, with boots on the ground?
So that's a very interesting question. I actually did a video on this for my TikTok, which I can send you guys if you want. But basically, I talked about how what I noticed from my experience was girls are kind of looped into what I call different categories, but mainly the girls that I've had success with, they've all been having some experience with disability. So they either work with a disability organization, they have somebody in their family who has a disability, or they're just comfortable with disability and non-judgmental.
Well, you know, and the other thing that's interesting, I mean, disability really opens up a really big can of worms in terms of dating. You know, a few years ago, we actually talked with an app developer who was looking to develop a dating app specifically for people with disabilities. And the idea was that, you know, for people who say have invisible disabilities, or say for people say in the blind or low vision community, that it's not obvious immediately from their profile that they have a disability, you know, for them, a lot of them struggle with the idea of, well, when do I disclose? Like, you know, I'm hitting it off with this person on an app, but I didn't put it in my profile that say I was low vision or blind, or I had, you know, as some sort of an invisible disability. So when, you know, when do I disclose? And everybody has their own answer for that. So there are all of these things that sort of complicate dating life. What's kind of been some of your experience in that sense, in terms of like trying to navigate some of the complexities?
You know, my own, first of all, my own personal struggles with when I got someone to date for the first time, it was like figuring out, okay, what, you know, I got this person, but like, what value can I give this person as a man? Like, you know, can I help her, you know, grab food? No. What can I do? And I learned very quickly, okay, I can't do a lot of physical things for her, but I have to do a lot of emotional support stuff. So that was something that I kind of struggled to figure out, because, you know, you don't really see a lot of role models out there, except for on YouTube recently, like, but they don't, you know, you don't really see a lot of role models outside of YouTube. Like, okay, this is how you do it for every specific disability you have. So I've seen people on YouTube, but I haven't seen someone that has specifically like cerebral palsy, for example, and how they handle this type of situation. So you kind of have to figure out that yourself. A lot of it then has been, you know, people asking me like, can you have sex? Can't tell you how many times I've had to answer that question. And you get hard and stuff like that. So right. it's just been a lot of that kind of stuff. And then, the other struggles that I've had really have been with people giving me a chance in general. like online, it's so easy for someone not to, you know, match with me. And in person, they have to talk to me if I talk to them. But I've noticed in person in the past, they would look at my, I have knee blocks that I wear as part of my chair. So they'll look at my knee blocks and I'm like, yeah, I know that they're kind of like, really like judging me or really afraid, not really like afraid of, you know, the whole wheelchair situation. A lot of people have used also excuses. Like, you know, they said, I want five kids, so I don't know if you can really have five kids. I'm like, well, there's only one way to find out.
Right.
But, you know, different like BS excuses, yeah, like that I've encountered. But I'm very fortunate, you know, now I started to kind of get into the rhythm and I've had success a lot. So I'm very grateful for that.
People in the mainstream who aren't educated about disability and what people can do and what people can't do, I mean, that certainly doesn't help when you're trying to date, because there are so many misconceptions or people just don't get it. Yeah, it's got to make it challenging.
Well, and I think, too, you can just take disability out of the equation altogether if you want, because, yeah, you know, sighted people are just as judgmental towards each other as they are towards, yeah, someone with a disability, right? So,
yeah,
disability is sure, it's a factor, but I think that judgmental attitude still exists even if there's no, sure, disability, right?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, this is one of the important parts of your podcast, Garrett, is that I think that, you know, as you navigate this and, you know, talking about your feelings and how you're sort of trying to frame things in your mind, you know, there's not a lot of other podcasts out there, a lot of other voices out there for other people that are maybe in the same situation. You know, again, that's one of the really important parts about, you know, doing a podcast like yours.
Oh yeah, that's for sure. And I'm very grateful, extremely grateful that people have told me that they've enjoyed it. People with disabilities have reached out to me and said that it's really helped them and they hope that I keep doing it. And
yeah,
those kind of things are really what keeps you going when you do a podcast, right? When you get the positive feedback instead of the negative feedback that I'm sure you guys get too. I've got, yeah, them both.
Are you dating someone now, Garrett?
I am in the process of talking to someone. I'll just leave it there, but I'm in the process of exploring something, a connection with somebody from Hinge.
Sure. I just think it would make for an interesting conversation to get the other side of that coin, right? That perspective on someone who's dating someone with a disability.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, who knows if it continues to go the way it's going, maybe, you know, she would be open to chatting with you guys, or that was kind of my goal, right? Was to have people I was dating eventually be on my podcast or be on other people's podcasts, right? If they're willing to.
Mm-hmm.
So that could certainly be a conversation.
Well, hey, listen, we will be your wingmen. You just, you know, maybe that can get an in with her. It's like, hey, listen, I can get you on the AT Banter podcast. So it, you know, might get you some, yeah, points, my friend.
Maybe, I'm sure it will, right? A little close. But I will tell you guys that, again, she falls into that category that I was talking about earlier, where she told me her dad was in a chair too, and she's well equipped for this pairing, which I thought was very nice, very nice.
Well, yeah, and that's true. You know, I think that is true. Like, you know, the more people have sort of touch points within the disability community, and they understand, they know that there's no like sort of mystery to it, I think that really helps, you know, when you're first talking to somebody, because you have that, not only do you have a point of reference, but that stigma or that fear of the unknown isn't sort of as prevalent.
Yeah, certainly. I think that's the biggest barrier for people dating somebody with a disability, right? Is the fear of the unknown, the fear that they're going to offend somebody. I've had girls tell me that too. Well, I don't want to offend you. I don't want to say the wrong things. I'm like, just say what you want and I'll correct you if it's really bad or offensive, but I won't be offended because you don't know any better, right? I mean, if society really was committed to full disability inclusion, and I hope one day they will be, guys, I think this needs to be a part of the education. And I felt very excluded when I was in school and being in sex education, right? Because they don't really talk about, they talk about sex in general, but they don't really talk about how it works for if you're an individual with a disability. I had to have the conversation about sex with my doctor because like they were the only ones that could explain how that works for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you're right. Like there is a real discomfort when it comes to sort of the mainstream. And I don't know how we push through that. I think that, you know, again, I think it's like podcasts like yours. And I wish I remembered the name of that guy that we talked to, Brian.
Was it Disability After Dark?
Yes, that's it.
Are you talking about Andrew Morrison?
Yes.
Gerza.
Yes. Yeah. Great stuff. Right. Like, yeah. So we need more people like you guys to really, you know, push through some of this stuff and to make it, you know, just less scary for people. And, you know, I think that this is where, you know, really, really passionate advocates and God bless them. I love advocates. But when you go too far and you create a sense of fear in people where they won't engage you at all because they're too afraid of offending, I think that actually kind of works against, you know, the push to educate people.
Yes, I agree with you. And you have people who are not in who are advocating, but they're not in my shoes, right? They're not in your shoes. So they're just speaking from what they see instead of actually speaking from the lived experience.
Right. Yes.
Which I think is more powerful.
No, 100% for sure.
I think we need a disability movement to happen.
We do. We need a modern revolution. Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw the documentary on Netflix, Crip Camp.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
love it.
You know, that was such an inspirational documentary, and I think we need another one because, it seems like we need more of a push to, for example, modify the ADA and really. Yeah. Close these loopholes. You know, we have so many loopholes. I can only speak for the US, right? But we have so many loopholes here where developers are getting around it. And that's why the accessible housing supply is in such short demand. And I really feel like people are unknowingly violating, you know, people with disabilities' civil rights without even realizing it, no fault of their own.
Yeah,
but I really feel like the movement needs to happen so we can educate people. It all goes back to education.
Yeah, we've talked about that on the podcast before. You know, it's really it's a little bit frustrating because I feel like the disability community, the movement, really is the one community that hasn't had their moment. Even though there's been, you know, moments like COVID, for example. You know, COVID, there was so many holes that where you shone a spotlight on in terms of people with disabilities where they just fell through the cracks during COVID. And none of those problems really seems to have been addressed now that we're on the other side of it. And I'm kind of speaking more here to Canada, but I'm sure that that was the case down there as well.
Oh yeah, no, it definitely was. They realized how, you know, vulnerable people with disabilities were, and there were a lot of things that I don't remember specifically what they were, but a lot of deficiencies they realized that needed to be corrected.
Yep.
For future stuff like that.
Yeah, certainly, you know, when it came to home care and stuff, like that whole system really fell apart during COVID. And,
yes.
You know, and even something as simple as like people putting on a goddamn mask because, you know, people with disabilities tended to like also have, you know, be vulnerable. And, you know, we couldn't even get people to wear masks in grocery stores, because they were too self-centered. So, you know, yeah, there were all kinds of things I think that just still haven't been addressed and fixed. And all of that, yeah, is very frustrating. I mean, Ryan makes jokes all the time about storming the Parliament building and having our own little mini revolution up here.
The disability group is the largest minority in the world, right? Yep. Yeah, we must be the politest because we're not doing anything.
Yeah, well, and not only that, it also has the quality that anybody and everybody probably
can be a part of.
Yeah. Can and will be a part of the disability community at some point in their life, even if it's just temporarily.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're really shooting ourselves in the foot by not really pushing things like accessibility forward.
Right. And it really does a disservice to people, right? Because their lack of education and their lack of awareness leads to ignorance. So they miss out on some awesome people, and they treat people in a manner that they don't know that they're doing wrong, right? So
right.
I want to switch topics at this point too, because I know you're passionate about accessible housing as well, Garrett. So can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, I've always been passionate about accessible housing ever since I was in college. And about a year ago, I ended up connecting with a contractor out in West Florida, kind of by the Naples-Fort Myers area. And he was a partner of another gentleman in that same area, and they were dedicated to building this whole concept. And I had never heard about this before, but I think it's pretty cool. And that was one of the reasons why I joined their team. But they actually built accessible barrier-free homes. So like, make sure it's completely barrier-free and accessible to everyone. And that you can either buy it or you can rent it. And I think that's amazing because, you know, out here in South Florida, there's nothing to my knowledge like that. And it makes a lot of people struggle when they don't have that housing supply, right? So I feel like that movement needs to be expanded. I really do.
Yeah, it's something I definitely don't think we hear enough about. You know, like years ago, we had a company called Inclusio on the show talking about inclusive housing and accessible housing. And, you know, we hear governments talking about building, you know, 30% more accessible housing. Yet, you know, the aging demographic is at, you know, getting more and more disabled as they grow older as well, like we all can possibly end up being. So accessible housing needs to be part of that conversation as well. So what is happening now with stuff like barrier-free construction? Is it becoming more talked about?
I wish it was. It's slowly starting to get out there, but it's more a matter of there's still issues, right? And it's more a matter of us still having to educate people. So it's starting to slowly, but there's still issues that is happening and still loopholes that need to be closed. So it's not where I would like it to be. But hopefully in maybe 5-10 years from now, we'll start to see a dramatic shift, I'm hoping.
Again, you know, I guess back to education, right? If it's being taught in college and university at architect, you know, school, engineering school, and part of the design process, then it would just become hopefully second nature to developers as an excellent business model to follow. You know, why would you eliminate a large percentage of the population who could move into your accommodations?
Right. And to your point, I went through a training about 2 weeks ago to become a certified aging in place specialist. And one of the things the instructor really harped on was the importance of visitability. So she really makes sure people understand when she's visiting clients that, you know, you should make sure your home is being able to be visited by everyone, including your mom when they get older, or your dad, or your grandma, your, you know, whatever it happens to be. At least the main entrance or the first floor should be visitable by everyone, which I love that. I had never heard about that before.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm in a townhouse that has three steps going up to the front door. And if you're in a wheelchair, I'd have to lift you up and carry you into the house.
Yeah. And you know, what's really frustrating about it is that really this idea of, you know, a fully accessible living space. I mean, it doesn't have to be an add-on. Like, honestly, I could move into a fully accessible living space and absolutely love it. Like, you know, I'm able-bodied, but I would love having, like, whatever, the kitchen counters being able to be raised or lowered based on what I'm doing. Or, like, all of these things that are touted as, well, this is an accessibility feature. It's like, well, you know what? Anybody could actually use that. If there was a, you know, a railing, you know, in the bathtub, like, I could use that. Like, there's no reason that we couldn't be building accessible spaces just as the default, and so that it works for absolutely everybody, whether they're able-bodied or not.
100%. And, you know, if you go to the grocery store, most grocery stores have automatic doors, right? So if we could do that for grocery stores, I don't see why we're not able to do universal design for everything, including housing.
Exactly. You know, that's the real push is this idea of universal design. Going back to the drawing board, just be like, let's start just building everything from a universal design lens and build something that's going to work for everybody. And that way we don't have to spend, you know, all of this money on these living spaces where only, you know, according to them, only a segment of this, of, you know, the population is going to be able to use. No, screw it. Like, just start everything that we build from now on should just be accessibly designed, or I'm sorry, universally designed.
Yeah, exactly. I think that would be a good thing for people like us to do. The question is, you know, how do we get it through their thick skulls? Because they really do sometimes, right? It's hard to penetrate their minds and really get it in there.
I know. It's hard, man. It's harder than dating.
Yeah, it is. I mean,
if only we could swipe left and right on politicians.
If only, right?
A new way of voting. I like it.
Yeah, actually,
I like
there.
That. I really do.
I don't know. Okay, I'm writing that down.
See, all the great ideas come from AT Banter.
I know, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I tell you.
Guys are writing ideas down. Like, some of the most brilliant ideas I feel like can come either in the shower or a podcast. Right?
Oh, they definitely come. We just don't do anything with them.
Yeah, we forget about them from week to week. So, yeah, no, you're right. We need to start writing these down.
Well, I just wanted to let people know that Love on a Roll is filed to be an LLC, so we will be official relatively soon. And when we do, we're going to offer not only accessibility services for, you know, if you want to do home assessments, if you want me to work with you, if you're an architect, if you're anything like that. We're also going to offer some dating services and some peer mentoring stuff. And we got a lot of things going on. So you can always reach out to me through email, loveonaroll@gmail.com. Or you can click the link below. We've got merchandise. We've got the podcast there. And we're just going to have a bunch of different things in the future, so look out for us.
Wow, that's amazing. You got a lot on the go. So now, in terms of the episodes, like, how often do you release?
Well, the audio podcast, it's still archived, so people can go back and listen to all the episodes. As far as the videos on the YouTube channel, which is also Love on a Roll, I'm aiming to do videos every Friday in general. Wow. So there will be some educational videos, and there will also be interviews, hopefully once every 2 weeks or so, depending on when we can get a guest. I know we have somebody in the works to come on next week to do a podcast, and there already is a podcast out right now. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Best Buddies, but I interviewed the director of Best Buddies Living. So that's up there right now. And we'll have a bunch of different podcasts within the next few months. And you guys are welcome anytime to come on.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, listen, we'll come on. We'll talk to anybody anytime.
That's great. I love that.
That'd be great.
What are we going to talk about?
Rob needs some free dating advice.
Oh, that's right. Actually, sorry, yeah, I missed that.
Yeah, there you go. I actually do.
It's okay, Rob. We got you.
All right. We got you. Listen. I'm happy to come on because I could use some need some help.
It's all about the app.
Yeah.
Knowing which way to
By
swipe.
The way, talking about free dating advice for you, Rob, and for everyone else that's listening. Do you guys know that I learned within the last couple months when I got back on the dating apps before I met this individual that I'm talking to and exploring things with, that the best success on dating apps is just swiping on every profile, regardless of whether you're attracted to them or not. What I realized is you start to get a more higher chance of matches with people, and then you just flip through the ones that you're interested in.
Oh, I like this. I'm gonna have to try that. I've already named it. It's called the shotgun method.
Exactly. That's what I like. That's
what makes you think Rob isn't already doing that?
Hey. Hey. Well, listen. I'll try anything. At this point. I believe that. I actually believe that. I feel like, so Garrett, okay. I think I've already pitched this on the show. This is probably one of my other ideas, but here's my idea for a dating app. And if I knew anybody that was an app developer, I would totally pitch this to them. But I think there is a call for an app out there where all you get fed is somebody's profile. And you swipe left or right based on their profile. And then once you match that way, then you have access to their picture.
Yes, I love that idea. Kind of like a Love is Blind thing, if I'm understanding correctly. So maybe reach out to, I don't know, maybe someone from Love is Blind is listening in.
That's true.
A web developer. Or maybe they can create a whole show. I was talking to someone about that a few weeks ago. Maybe he thought it would be cool to have a show where people with disabilities go on and they're, you know, kind of like The Bachelor and dating people, but not just one person. It'd be like the show, like the autism show on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
Like that. That's what it would be like.
I like that idea, too. My app idea was just where I was the only male on it, and then it was just all females. But I don't think I was having trouble figuring out a way to get that one off the ground because I figured that would up my chances a lot.
I got a good name for you, Rob. Call it The Last Man on Earth. Like that show. Is up there.
I love it. Yes.
I was going to call it Wish List.
Love it. And I'm writing that one down too.
It'll be like instead of like The Bachelor, it'll be like The Bachelor.
It'll be like Rob ?
The love and support of my co-host sort of flooding into the
am I lovable?
That's right. ? Oh God! Well, we could do this all day. We could take pot shots at me all day. But
it's usually Liz. Come on, relax.
We've all got things to do.
Sorry, Rob. I get dates.
No. Listen, it's all good.
The pop shots are all with love.
That's right.
Lots
well,
of
listen.
Love.
That is the other strategy that people need when they are in the dating is you got to keep a sense of humor about it and not take it too seriously because otherwise, you will go bonkers.
Yeah. And if there's one piece of free advice that I can leave your listeners with, and you, Rob, you know, it just, one thing I learned is not to be desperate and like, I want, you know, I really want someone. It's okay to want someone, but you have to want to date yourself, right? And kind of spend time with yourself and love yourself and just say, you know, I'm open to opportunities. If it happens, it happens.
Yes.
Versus saying, man, I really want someone, because girls and I'm sure guys, but I know girls sense desperation, right? They sense the thirstiness on you.
Yeah. They can smell it. They can smell it a mile away.
Yeah.
That's true, but I'm writing that down. Don't be desperate.
Take ravioli off my profile.
We're like dogs and bees. We can smell the fear.
We smell exactly. your fear. Yes, exactly.
We sense it.
That's true.
Exactly.
Been bit and stung a few times, I tell you. Garrett, sir, we want to thank
you. I'm feeling bad for you now.
No, I'm just teasing. I'm just kidding. It's all been fun.
I'm going to send you a sympathy card.
It's fine, Ryan. It's fine. Great. Okay?
Okay.
My counselor said it was fine. Garrett, listen, we want to thank you so much for coming on. Please stay in touch. We'll make sure that we include everything in the show notes. Please, everybody, go check out Garrett. Love on a Roll is the podcast and the YouTube channel. Please come back anytime, sir. And let's stay in touch, and we're happy to come on and come on your show.
I would love to stay in touch and be a friend of the podcast and a friend of you guys. And anytime you want me to pop on, I'd be happy to do so. And you guys are welcome anytime to pop on as well.
You got it, sir. All right. Well, thank you very much. This will come out next week. We will send you over the link to the podcast. Feel free to use it however you would like.
Sounds good. I will. I definitely will. And maybe I'll take your advice and get it for clout, you know?
There you go. Yeah, no, totally. Like I said, we're happy to have you and the lady on. And, you know, like I said, maybe it gets you some points. Maybe that's what I need to start doing. I need to start opening with, hey, I have a podcast. I can get you on my podcast.
Rob, you definitely should
write that down. Yeah. Right. What am I thinking? Yeah. Use this pod. Everybody else uses this podcast for stuff. I'm going to use my pen.
We're going to start passing the hat.
That's right. What are we doing today, Ryan? Today, we're talking to Cindy. I'm not sure why, but...
I think next year we're going to go to PodFest, and you're going to meet a woman podcaster, and you guys are going to podcast into the sunset.
Look at that.
There you go. We'll be a pairing of podcasts. We'll merge our podcasts. Be talking to Cindy and about whatever. Cooking. All right, Garrett.
Where'd that come from?
I don't know.
And we wonder why he doesn't have a date.
Oh, listen, I knew that was coming. All right, Garrett. Well, thanks again. Have a great rest of your night. We'll be in touch. Let's do this again soon.
You too, guys. Looking forward to it.
Thanks, right, Garrett. Take care.
Thanks, Garrett.
Take it easy.
Take care. Okay. Take care, guys. Bye. Next time.
So there you go.
Good
there
guy.
You go. Look at all that. Yeah, great guy. And I got some free dating advice. So
I heard that.
Yeah.
I can't. Okay, so I think the other thing that I need to do is I need to look into this whole LLC business, because I don't know. Either I need to get some initials behind my name, or maybe on this podcast, maybe we need to become AT Banter LLC.
Up your stature.
Yeah. And I look into that. How hard is this? How hard is this whole LLC deal there, Liz?
I don't know how it is in Canada.
Well, would you have to fill out some forms and stuff?
You have to file. You have to file with the feds and with your state, and you have to do certain reporting each year, and it complicates the taxes. Yeah, you have to you have to report to your state's secretary of state and verify. I don't know what it's called. You have to re-register every year, and
that's easy. Income zero.
No, that's not what the Secretary of State. That's what the IRS. Yes. So that's,
What do you get to report on? Like just what you were up to?
No, it's just sort of the information about the corporation, and it depends on, and there's different types of LLCs. So it's sort of, there can be a single owner LLC, which operates a lot like a sole proprietor.
Right.
Or if you're multi-owner, then you may operate more like a corporate structure, or, I mean, it's different rules based on the structure of your LLC. So
I see.
Sounds like too much work for AT Banter.
Yeah,
we can barely get guests each week.
Hire somebody from Fiverr to do it for us.
I had to hire an accountant to do my taxes.
Oh,
I can't do them myself.
Oh, wow.
My LLC. Dude, I don't trust
complicated.
It.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a little complicated because you don't want to screw it up. Also,
that's true. You don't want to get the IRS on you.
Yeah, and then depending on what you're doing, you might have to have business insurance, and you have to there's different layers of things that you got to separate your corporate entity from your personal entity, and blah blah blah. You know, it's just.
Well, I'm exhausted already.
Yeah, Ryan's like, screw that.
Yeah, that's way too much work.
But I have to say, like, given the audience a lot of value for their buck today, because we've got some free dating advice, we got free LLC advice, just loading up this podcast with information.
Got some good accessibility living advice, and
yeah, we got all kinds of stuff going on today.
There's a lot of good stuff. I love his energy.
Mm-hmm.
I love his attitude. Yeah,
me too.
It's very a very contagious.
Yeah.
Level of positivity, which
yeah,
I like.
For sure. And it's up to so much too.
Yeah.
Like all the merch and stuff. Like we got to get off our asses.
Talk to the boss.
Yeah. We got to get some merch.
Well, let's we do have merch.
Well, we got better merch. We need some t-shirts or something. Anyways. Yeah. We'll
talk to the boss.
We can get some merch.
Liz, you got any merch connections down there?
I got my own merch issues.
Yeah,
I've got a show coming up. I have to order some new merch.
Yeah. What kind of merch do you have?
Go the booze route.
Oh,
so
nice.
People like my merch. So the folks that got my merch, they liked it. Cause I did flasks and wine cups, travel wine cups.
That's a great idea.
Shot glasses.
Really? Huh. Mm-hmm. That's a great idea.
I have a sister who has an engraving company in Alberta. She could probably engrave flasks and shot glasses.
Yeah, look at Okay, look at you.
You guys can't come up with your own ideas? Your
Hell
own
no.
merch?
No, this is.
We have hired somebody from Fiverr to
We're going to recycle what Liz does.
we like our drinks, so yeah.
Yeah, I think that flasks are coming back. I think they're kind of a good hit. Like people, they actually want to keep them and they want to use them. And
yeah, I agree. It's a great idea.
Last year, before I even left the conference, I saw some that were flashing the flask and there was something in it. They're already putting it to use. I was like, good for you. Check you out. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Now I got to find a flask supplier.
See, I'm just realizing that's the advantage of having a podcast, right? We just invite people on that we want free advice from and just ask them questions. No, we're not publishing this. We just wanted to know all about LLC. I'm just taking some notes. Oh, no, but I agree. Great guy. We'll definitely have to keep an eye on what he's up to and highly recommend everybody go checking out his podcast because it is really interesting. And he talks about a lot of different topics, but this dating thing, man, it's a challenge. We should really, we should check in with Christy. I remember her first name was Christy, but I don't recall what her last name was. There was a web developer over in Victoria that was creating an app, a dating app for like the disability community. We should really check in and see where she's at with that because it is important. It is a big deal. And dating, it sucks. And I'm sure it sucks even worse, for people in the disability community. So I think it's an important topic to talk about.
Maybe we could do I don't know, 2 or 3 part series or something on dating and relationships.
Anything else to say about anything?
Nope. Should
we get out of here?
Yep. Got to go find some flasks.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, Liz.
Hey, Rob.
Where can people find us?
They can find me on a flask, or they can find AT Banter at atbanter.com.
Is it your picture, or is it say
Liz Malone? Oh, no, it's not my picture. Say?
Well, I don't know.
I wouldn't put my picture on a flask. Nobody would want my picture.
So what does it say? Just Liz Malone,
just,
LLC?
It just has a logo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. We need a new logo, Rob.
Yeah, okay, I'll work on it.
you need a flask-worthy logo.
Okay,
I don't know
I'll
if
that.
That I don't know what that would be. Because so. I don't know if that, I don't think mine was necessarily.
It has to be, it has to be fairly simple, I think. So it's something to think about. I'm open to redesigning it. I'm not above it. So.
Perfect. All right.
Hey, they can also find us at www.tinder.com/beefaroni-monkey69.
Or tinder.com/atbanter.
No, I'm just kidding. Don't go to tinder.com/beefaroni-monkey69. You will get an error, not page not found. Trust me.
It's ravioli monkey.
That's right. Ravioli. No, what was it? No, they can find us at atbanter.com.
I said that already.
Oh, did you? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah. They can email us if they so desire.
At Pizza Monkey.
At Cowbell. At atbanter.com.
At Beefarabi at atbanter.com.
That's right. Where else can they find us?
Facebook, X, Instagram, and Mastodon.
That's right. And that...
It's going to about do it for us this week.
It is. Big thanks, of course, to Garrett for joining us. And we will see everybody next week.
This podcast has been brought to you by Canadian Assistive Technology, providing low vision and blindness solutions, as well as physical access solutions and augmentative communication aids across Canada. Find us online at www.canastech.com, or if you're in the Vancouver Lower Mainland, visit our storefront at number 106-828 West 8th Avenue in Vancouver. That's one block off Broadway at Willow. You can reach us by phone, toll-free at 1-844-795-8324, or by email at sales@canastech.com.